From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. For as long as I could remember, I wondered where I came from. But thinking about my roots has always frustrated me. While many people can trace their origins back to their native lands, I couldn't because of slavery. And many other African Americans I knew couldn't either. My colleague Karen Smiles, a producer for WHYY-TV, talked about this dilemma.
We just did not have that history, and we didn't have the means of actually holding on to that history.
But lately, thanks to genealogy software like Ancestry.com and 23andMe, there's been a surge in African Americans finding their roots. Still, we tend to rely on the tried and true family stories passed down from one generation to the next. The story you're about to hear started with portraits found under a bed, and from that, a discovery of an African-American family with historic Philadelphia roots stretching back as far as America itself. Today's show, The Montiers, an American story. Earlier this spring, Karen produced a TV documentary of the same name. So, Karen, how did you first learn about this story?
Well, Annette, it was back in 2009 when the portraits of Hiram and Elizabeth Montier first came to the Philadelphia Museum of Art. Like most television and radio and press, we get press releases announcing things like this. And the press release included beautiful portraits of two African-American individuals, and I was just totally taken with it. So I went out and I produced what became a 2.5 to 3 minute segment about the portraits of Hiram and Elizabeth coming to the Philadelphia Museum of Art for a short program that we were doing back in 2009 here at WHYY.
Where did the portraits come from?
So William Pickens III, when his relative passed away, they went to the home to clean it out and they find these portraits under the bed.
My mother was the family historian. She had maintained all of these records and photographs from way back.
His family, they had the knowledge to hold on to documents and photos and things like that.
And she told me when I was a kid about these portraits, oil portraits that had been done in 1841 of her grandparents, Hiram and Elizabeth Montier. I was astonished that in 1841, African-Americans were having oil portraits done. These rattled around in our family for years, these Montier portraits. They were found under the bed of my great uncle in Philadelphia, who was almost 90 years old at the time. When my wife and I took possession of these portraits, we decided that the world should see them.
So they reach out to the Philadelphia Museum of Art, because, of course, they thought Hiram and Elizabeth were Philadelphian, so maybe they might have some interest.
I called the Philadelphia Museum. I said, we have these wonderful portraits, and because of the president's election, Barack and Michelle coming to the White House, we thought maybe America ought to see this part of the history. We drove down in a rainstorm.
From New York. William Pickens and his family are from upstate New York.
Deposited them there. They were happy to get them, and they've been on display in the American wing ever since.
So, Karen, why were these portraits significant?
These portraits were significant on so many levels. First of all, it's because they were done in the early 1840s, at a time period when, of course, you did not have portraits of this caliber done unless you were fairly wealthy. And definitely African Americans were not having portraits like this done.
You had to have a certain amount of money, and you also had to have access to artists who would allow you to sit and paint you in the way that you wanted to be depicted.
I was really delighted to have Dr. Gwendolyn Du Bois Shaw participate in the program, and she's an art historian and author and professor, very much known for her history of African American art.
Hiram Montier was a bootmaker. He was a shoemaker. He had a shop in Philadelphia. in fine art, often when we look at paintings from the 18th century and the 19th century, when we do see African Americans present in those paintings, they're there as enslaved people, as servants. They're often at the margins and at the corners of the image.
And some of the things that she points out in the portrait are some of the things that make the portraits of Hiram and Elizabeth so special, and some of the things that tell you a little bit about them and their lifestyles. They're wearing beautiful clothing. The color in the clothing is very rich and vibrant. They're wearing jewelry. And so it wasn't like now where we have we can take a photo in an instant and let people know something about us. This was their opportunity in these portraits to let people know everything about them. So, of course, they wanted you to know about their religion. So she's wearing a cross. They wanted you to know that they were literate. So they're holding books.
These portraits are so unique. They really show us two individuals. They're not types like you might see in other kinds of images of Black folks in the 19th century. Hiram Montier, or Hiram Montier, as he's often called, and his wife Elizabeth Brown. They were married very young. I think he was about 23 and she was 21.
These were wedding portraits. They had just gotten married, and Hiram looked at his pretty wife and said, you know what, I think we ought to honor this wedding with some family portraits.
That's what makes these portraits so special and remarkable for that era.
I love that. Thanks. But it turns out, Karen, that these connections went back to the founding of Philadelphia. And that's what makes this story so astounding. Can you talk a little bit about those connections?
You're absolutely right, Annette. And that's what really piqued my interest from the very beginning. When the portraits first came to the Philadelphia Museum of Art back in 2009, it included some of the backstory. And that was that the very first mayor of Philadelphia was actually related to the Montier family. Humphrey Morey was appointed mayor in 1691 by William Penn, and he was mayor for about 10 years.
He had a lot of money. I think he was the sixth wealthiest man in Pennsylvania at the time.
He's a Quaker. What a lot of people may not know is that Quakers were slave owners, and Humphrey Morey is a slave owner.
It was free labor, and many Philadelphians had slaves.
Humphrey Morey has a son named Richard Morey. When Humphrey Morey passes away, Richard Morey takes over or inherits the household. Richard Morey was one of the first people in the area to actually free his slaves, but there were a number of the slaves who stayed on in the household as servants, and one of those was Cremona.
Richard Morey fell in love with his house servant. He wooed and pursued her, and together they made five babies, beginning in 1735.
That is fascinating.
Incredible.
And you're talking about the mayor's son.
That's correct. So the mayor's son has this relationship with Cremona, and they actually live as man and wife. Of course.
Was this accepted?
The reason that it was probably able to exist, they were pretty much accepted within their community there in Cheltenham. But, of course, this was a Quaker community, so
yes,
they were probably a little more accepting than those on the outside.
It would have been a farm, and he would have been with other Quaker farmers that were out practicing their faith freely and farming for a living.
A lot of the groundwork and history that I was able to come up with was thanks to David Rowland, who is the president of the Old York Road Historical Society.
This area back in the early days prior to 1800 was more like driving through central Pennsylvania today. There might be a little village with a blacksmith shop or something like that. Population's going to be 10 or 20 people. Very, very small.
They were not allowed to be married because obviously that couldn't happen at the time for a black and a white individual. But they do set up household in Cheltenham Township, in the Glenside section of Cheltenham Township. And, of course, Richard owned a large amount of land, so the family lived fairly well.
So he dies and leaves her all the land.
He died in 1753, but in 1745 he made provision to leave Cremona 198 acres.
Which is just incredible. especially for an African-American woman.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Women were not allowed to own land, and of course, an African-American woman couldn't own land. So a trust was set up, which was overseen by one of their Quaker neighbors.
Which made her the probably the wealthiest African-American woman in Philadelphia at the time.
And so from Richard and Cremona Moray comes the Montiers.
That's correct. Richard Moray and Cremona Moray have five children. Their youngest daughter was named Cremona Jr.
Cremona, the last child, became my great-great-great-grandmother. She met a guy named John Montier.
Or some people say John Montier. He's believed to have been from Haiti, but they're not exactly sure.
They fell in love and got married in 1766.
She and John Montier have four children, four sons.
These limbs on this family tree, Karen, are a little tricky to navigate.
And Hiram, who is the person who is pictured in the portrait in the Philadelphia Museum of Art, is the great-grandson of Richard and Cremona Moray.
The Montiers were freeborn. As such, they descended out of a long line of interracial relationships. In their case, these relationships seem to have been consensual. This is very different than most African-American interracial individuals in the 19th century.
Why was this story so important to tell?
William Pickens III is an incredible man, and that's what drew me in to do this story. This is a man who just doesn't give up.
I want young people to understand that even in 1840, black folks were doing their thing here in Philadelphia.
For him, it is just family is number one.
The best thing I did was I named my last child John Montier Pickens, so that that name would stay in our family.
And it is so important to him that this story is shared. And meeting him, I just grabbed onto that right away. He was not going to let me get away without telling this story. I think it's a story that everybody should be aware of.
Karen Smiles, thanks for your reporting on this, and thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Annette, for having me.
And that's it for the show. The Y is produced by me and Shai Ben Yaakov. Special thanks to Jeanette Woods, who produced today's episode. Our engineers are Al Banks, Mike Villers, and Adam Staniszewski. You can tweet us at Shai Ben Yaakov or at Annette JH and drop us a comment wherever you download your podcast. You can watch the documentary The Montiers, An American Story by visiting whyy.org.